We continue our journey through the musical theater stage. And this week we are at The Miserables, which was a musical that first began in 1980, based off the Victor Hugo novel published in 1862. Now, it used to be required reading in high school. How many have read it as a part of your high school curriculum? Anybody? Bruce did? Did you read all 1,500 pages there, Bruce? 6 volumes it is. It's a very, very long story. Delves deeply into all the characters. The musical is not that long. It is a wonderful musical, one of my favorites. In 2012, it was made into a very good feature film starring A-list actors and actresses, Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway, and others. It's a story that is very rich in religious language, and Victor Hugo admitted this and wrote about this. And so there are so many things that could be talked about out of this story as jumping points to talk about God and the good news. The story itself is set in the early 19th century, post-revolution France. By the way, the revolution did not end things in France. They struggled for many decades trying to work it out between kings and the people after Napoleon left power. There was 3 different time periods in which the story takes place. First of all, Jean Valjean, who is a prisoner in one of the penitentiaries there. He's the main character, the focus character. He spends 19 years in prison for a crime of stealing a loaf of bread. Actually, 5 years for stealing a loaf of bread, and the rest of that 12 years was for trying to escape. But nonetheless, initially he was there simply for stealing a loaf of bread. The other main character is that of Javert. Inspector Javert, who at the beginning of our story is the warden at the prisoner. And these two people present sort of 2 different ways of looking at the world and of mercy and justice, to which we turn to today. The story of Jean Valjean is a long and involved one, and I will try to summarize it as best I can for you today. He gets released out of prison after 19 years on parole, which means that he carries around a piece of paper that says that he's a dangerous man and must report in on a regular basis, lest he be reported in dereliction of that and be hauled back into jail. So whenever he goes from town to town to apply for work, they ask for his papers. And of course, he must show that he is a parolee. And of course, no one is interested in hiring somebody who is out of jail. So of course, he's out of money. He doesn't have much to eat. He comes into a town begging, to which he's taken in by the local bishop, who is kind to him, takes him in for a meal, allows him to spend the night in a bed there. And out of desperation, perhaps believing he had no choice, he stole all of the silverware that he had dined with earlier that evening and stowed away in the night. But of course, he's found with a big knapsack full of silver. And the police haul him into the bishop's office and say, "We found him with your silver, and he had the nerve to say that you gave him this." To which the bishop says, "I did. And I'm glad you came back, my friend," turning his attention toward Jean Valjean, and offers him those silver candlesticks on those table. 2 silver candlesticks on our altar today. "You forgot these," he said. To the shock of Jean Valjean and the police who leave, he turns to him and says, "Now, use this silver to start life as an honest man. I have bought your soul for God. I've raised you up and saved you for God," he says. And then he struggles. He sings a song about what is he to do with himself now out of his shame that he stole from this man who offered him mercy. How is he to handle this? So his answer is to tear up that parole slip and start a new life. Time passes, and he is a mayor of a small town. He owns a factory there, to which introduces the character of Fantine. Fantine works in his factory, and the other women there pick on her. They're jealous of her, and they snip and snide, and she's fired unjustly. She's thrown out into the street, and this is a big deal to her because she has a child. She's a single parent. Her husband ran off, leaving both of them flat, as she sings about. She has nowhere else to go, so she sells her hair. She's getting her hair cut here. She sells the teeth in her mouth for money. She sells herself on the streets, and she is ashamed of that. And when somebody approaches her and she attacks back to defend herself, Jean Valjean is there, and Javert is there, by the way. Their stories are intertwined. They always seem to run into each other. She admits her fault, but Jean Valjean recognizes her as somebody who worked at his factory. And so he has mercy on her, takes her in, brings her to the hospital, takes care of her, pays for her bills, and she's dying. A little while later, Javert finds the man who they believe to be Jean Valjean, mistaken identity, and he's being hauled before court. And Jean Valjean, the mayor of this town, who's in disguise, struggles with what to do. He finally decides that he will admit who he is, despite the fact that if he's not there, all those people in the factory might lose their jobs, will probably lose their jobs. Who knows what will happen to them in a time of economic crisis that's going on in the country. Admits that he is this criminal who escaped parole to save that man in court that he doesn't know. Javert encounters him again, but Jean Valjean says, "Yes, I will go with you, but first, let me take care of this woman's child who I vowed to take care of." Of course, he doesn't buy that. There's a struggle. Jean Valjean escapes. He finds Cosette, a little girl who works for an innkeeper and his wife, more or less as a slave. He adopts her as his own, takes her away, raises her as a daughter, doesn't know her, only had met Fantine once, raises the little girl as his own. Time passes. She grows up, she becomes a woman, she falls in love with a man named Marius. Marius is involved in the struggle for the liberation on the streets of France. In a battle, he was shot and wounded severely. But before that, he goes and finds him. He prays over him. In this scene says, "Lord, bring him home safely for my daughter. He is young. He's only a boy." When he is wounded, he takes him away through the muck of the sewers to the hospital, but of course first meets that thorn in his side, Javert, who challenges him. Now earlier, Javert had been captured by the resistance, who was undercover. And Jean Valjean, when he went to find Marius, also found Javert, and he volunteered to take care of Javert. "Let me take care of this man whom you're holding as prisoner." And everyone thought that he was going to shoot him dead. Well, Jean Valjean lets him go, an act of mercy. And Javert doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand the mercy of someone who he believed to be a career criminal, a lowlife. And thus we have the two different views of the world, the world of Jean Valjean and the world of Javert. Jean Valjean is someone who is always looking for what is the greater good. He might struggle at times. He stole the loaf of bread, but he was sent to jail for 19 years. And he asked himself, how just is that? Fantine was attacked by someone in the street, yet she was defending herself. And considering that she shouldn't have been there in the first place, how just is it that she should be dragged into jail? And so he steps in. Marius is young. How just would it be for him to die, and for him who is old and has lived his life to go on living? If he can save somebody weak, he will do it. If he will try and save someone who needs so many things like Cosette, he will do it. Despite what the letter of the law is, even if it's difficult, saving a man from a fate like Javert, who was after him his entire life. Javert is the other side of the equation, the other way of looking at the world on the scale of justice and mercy. Javert is someone who sees the world in black and white terms, right and wrong, to the letter of the law. Someone who also came from nothing. He sings about how he was born in a jail. He came from nothing too. So to him, the way to be raised up is working hard, following directions, following the way of the Lord, working hard, discipline, rules. It's simple. It's not difficult. He is not wrong, but he fails to see and understand the big picture of life. And they have different ways that they deal with mercy. We often reach out and try to understand the mercy of God. Our characters ask themselves this question as well. Jean Valjean reached out after the mercy of the bishop, trying to understand, what does he do with this? He struggled with it. Javert asked himself the same question at the end of the musical. What do I do with the mercy of Jean Valjean? Somebody who is my enemy offering me mercy. How do I deal with it? Jean Valjean chose a different life, a new life, a reborn life, a life for a cause and conscience. Javert couldn't handle it. Since it didn't make sense to him, he threw himself off a bridge. What road will we choose? Will we choose to participate in the grace of God's kingdom? That grace that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense sometimes. Will we participate in that? Will we offer grace as well as we have been offered grace by God? The ways of justice, the ways of our justice, cannot be applied evenly. We try our best in our democracy. We try to be fair, but it is not perfect. Our justice system is overcrowded with those in prison. Our sentences are often cruel and unusual towards the crime. Sometimes they're too lenient, sometimes they're way too much. Why not respond with grace in our lives? Why not be different? If you listen to the scripture, there's two ways to be in the world, to be born of what he says, Paul says in Ephesians, as the spirit of the air. He's speaking to the people in Ephesus in Gnostic terms, in a very spiritual way. In other words, will we be people of the world that respond in the ways of the world, or will we be people that respond in grace? There is too much judgment in our society. too much judgment in our attitudes. There's too much judgment in our churches. Do we believe that people can change? Really change? I do. We might look at somebody like Jean Valjean, any former criminal out there, and say, they're a criminal. They should not be able to do certain things that I have a right to do. But if we really believe in the power of God, we believe in the power of change. Yes, people can change. So why not err on the side of grace? Why not take a chance like the bishop did and say, why not offer grace to this man? It might, just might, make a difference. That old man was not around to see the good that he did in life and the people that he affected and saved, literally saved. It's powerful when you give somebody a chance to succeed, when you give somebody forgiveness and say, I believe in you. Even if you don't believe in yourself, even if you're ashamed of your past, I believe in you because God believes in you. You are a child of God and you are worth something. And so therefore, why not treat people with dignity and with fairness and goodness? This is a power that we have as Christians. This is a gift that we have to give as Christians, as a church, to set people off, to set people up, to raise them up, to save them for God. In our scripture this morning in Ephesians, it echoes what Paul says at least a half dozen times throughout the New Testament, that basically we are all the same. We come from the same stock. We all fall short of the grace of God. When we see somebody down on their luck, that's poor, that's downtrodden, we should say, there but the grace of God go I. We should be blessed that most of us have known the grace of God for most of our lives, that have known forgiveness and love, that have known the forgiveness of a Father that loves us and the grace of forgiveness and God that is love. Not everyone has known that. Not everyone shares our experience. No one can make the journey from dark to light alone. They need the power of God. They need the shared power of other people as well. And that's where we come in. All of us come from the same stock. Remember that. All of us have known darkness in some way, haven't we? Ask yourself where those times are in your life that you faced adversity, and have you made the right choice every time? Ask God where your good works come in, as it says at the end of our scripture. We cannot be saved by good works, but our good works are reflective of who we are as grace-filled people. Be motivated by the love of God that has been shown to us. Participate in the world of God's grace. Respond with grace. And by doing so, we live a life of true freedom. Freedom through Christ. Let us sing the good news of God.